Tapping the Keg Daily is live for Saturday. It is March 30th. We're going to talk about Marquette's stunning loss to NC State. We're going to discuss all that happened. We're going to discuss, you know, could it have been differently? Why it hurt so bad? How it could maybe get better? And then maybe look ahead to next year. And that will be today's show. I know I said Brewers. The Brewers are like 2 hours away from first pitch. So I'll talk about the Brewers on Monday. Just first, you know, series, overreactions, underreactions, the whole thing. And yeah, that'll be today's show. And it's going to be a sad one. Not going to lie to you. But before we get going, Tapping the Keg on X/Twitter, Tapping the Keg Sports on Instagram, as well as TikTok and Facebook. You will notice a new logo. Shout out to my guy, Ethan, who took care of that. I put his handle on X, Twitter, and then I also will do it on Instagram, so make sure you drop him a follow, or if you need logo support, he definitely can help out. He was great, worked with all my revisions, all my feedback, so I really appreciate the partnership, so shout out to Ethan. Who's just trying to grind. Young kid reached out to me. Was like, hey, do you need a logo? And I was like, yeah, actually, like, I've definitely wanted something like this, and it was affordable, and it made sense for me. So I hope you guys like it. And if you don't tell me. No, I'm just kidding. All right, but make sure you're following along on the podcast, Apple, Spotify, wherever you get your pods. If you're new here, we usually do 4 days a week. Every now and again, we'll pop on. In this, I guess, quote unquote emergency format where it's like, you know, we have to have a pod on Saturday. I had to talk about Marquette game today because honestly, my feelings are still raw. My feelings still hurt. You want the fan in me. That's what I bring to the table. So I'm not going to, you know, sugarcoat it, right? I'm not going to wait till Monday. And I'll probably, you know, as you do with a lot of sports losses, you get over them, right? But I do want to talk about it in the moment right now, right here. And I may have even got, I almost hopped on Friday night. My dog isn't always great about when I'm down here late. And so I didn't want to rouse her up. That's why I didn't get it last night. Transparently, I dozed off on my couch because I think I was just emotionally wrecked. And it doesn't feel any better. And let's just get into it. Let's just talk about it. Make sure you're telling your friends about us this Easter weekend. Family, we'd love to have more people join us here on a little bit different of a Wisconsin sports approach. Let's kick this off. Let's rip the Band-Aid. Let's talk about Marquette's loss to NC State. I think you could have basically outlined 100 different ways Marquette would lose. And I don't think I would have Marquette only had a 5-2 lead. And NC State controlled the game all game long, basically because Marquette couldn't hit a shot. And every little thing that you see about this game is yet another dagger. And it is a slow bleed out to realize that this should have been a victory. And probably if you play this game over 9 times out of 10, you win the game. And I talked to Mitch on the pod on Thursday, and I said how this game reminded me of the Hawks in 2021 with the Milwaukee Bucks, and how the Milwaukee Bucks needed to win that series because they were the favorites. They got benefited by the Philadelphia Sixers collapse, and they needed to take advantage of that Hawks team. But Mitch pointed out, like, hey, it's a 7-game series. It's not just one game. And if you remember, the Bucks lost that first game to the Atlanta Hawks. Atlanta Hawks won at Fiserv Forum, and the Hawks, you know, quote unquote, controlled the series. And at one point, Giannis got hurt, and it was 2-2. And the Bucks fought and clawed, and then win in 6 and get to the NBA Finals. But we don't have that luxury in the NCAA. We're not going back to Marquette for Game 2 Sunday afternoon, right? We have one game, and that's the beauty and the disappointment of this tournament. And I'm not advocating for 3-game series or anything like that. I thought, you know, what helped was I was listening to Tom Izzo on Part of My Take as I was like doing stuff around the house, kind of, I wouldn't say procrastinating this, but just sort of getting myself in the mindset, having my cup of coffee. And Izzo said, they asked him about like, how do you see this tournament playing out? And, you know, he's like, look, you know, something strange always happens. It's a coin flip. You don't know what it is, but something strange will happen. And if you look at that something strange, it's NC State. And it's the way that NC State was able to win this game with a B-minus effort. Now, you can say, Charlie, you're a hater. But if you look at shot quality, which I'm not always a huge fan of, Marquette should have won this game by 15 points. Marquette had these shots that they easily could have had. Like, they had open looks. Like, you look at that 4 for 31, and you're like, oh, my God, they shot terribly from three. Every look was a good look, and they just didn't go in. And Brian Perez, who I think is a basketball content creator, said, look, they overinflate the balls at one location every time. And Houston and Duke had the same problems as Marquette and NC State. Look at the scores of those games compared to everywhere else. You had Tennessee in the 80s against Creighton. You had Purdue in the 80s against Gonzaga. You had in LA, you had, you know, nearly 90 points. Like, you had all the scoring in every region except for fucking Dallas. And if Marquette's in any other region, are they advancing? I don't know, right? Are they, if they play Tennessee, do they win that game? Not sure. But it just, it fucking kills you. It kills you that these little things, right? These little things that some are out of your control are part of the reason why you lost. And that's the part that's really tough to get over. That's the part that kills you, right? If you lose on a buzzer beater, if you lose on DJ Burns tipping in a ball, or Diarra would probably be the better example. If Diarra tips one in at the buzzer and you lose 71-69, it sucks. It sucks in the moment. But at least then you know, like, wow, you were very, very close to winning this basketball game. You were very, very close, and it was the team that had the ball last, and you didn't box out, and it goes back to rebounding and everything else, or McConnell hits a shot. Like, you can, it, that sucks too, and you were so close, but it's likely that you didn't do enough down the stretch to make it a, you know, to win the game. And so you can point to that. But with this, where there's so much of variance and outlier, it's really hard to compartmentalize that you lost this game. That's the part of it where it's like, it's so fucking bizarre that it's hard to wrap your head around. And it's really also hard to find an example in Wisconsin sports that's like this. I guess the San Francisco game that I was at, where Aaron Rodgers just focused on Devontae Adams, and the defense played amazing, and they lost because of a special teams play. I think that's way up there in terms of this bizarre playoff losses, if you will. But this, to me, right now, it's just hard to get over. It's hard to believe that this is the way it ends. And I realize that even great teams don't have storybook endings. That's why what happened with John Elway was so unique, even though that pains Packer fans. But it doesn't happen often. Guys don't usually get to ride out into the sunset. It isn't like a Disney movie. And that's the thing that sucks about sports. That sports is just a real fucking asshole. That you can ride and die with this team for years and love this team and admire this team. And there aren't many teams that are like this. But at the end of the day, you do not get rewarded with your fandom. And I understand that that kills you. I understand that that absolutely drives you nuts as a sports fan. And how Aaron Rodgers only has one Super Bowl, right? And I say it all the time on podcasts, and you're probably sick of me hearing saying this, but winning championships is really fucking hard. And I think I'm gutted. I know I'm gutted. I'm gutted right now because I look at this game and I feel like it should have been different. I feel like they should have got a better shot. Like, you got to give us a chance. And I am, you know, a little upset that Marquette didn't realize that they'd shoot themselves out of the variance. I think that, you know, Marquette does shoot a lot of threes, but at some point they should have realized. I know NC State was daring them to shoot. When NC State realized that nothing was going in, they were giving them opportunities. I think NC State's defense would have adjusted had Marquette started hitting some threes. But that's the crazy thing. They didn't even need to shoot it well. If they make three more threes, the game's tied and we go to overtime, right? If they make a couple more free, if David Joplin makes a couple more free throws, and it's not just David Joplin that missed free throws, but if he makes a couple more free throws, we're in this game. We're right in this game. And the three missed free throws at the end of that half, when he gets fouled on a three, and it's like, okay, you're going to be down 10 going into halftime. And it just never ended up, you know, making it home. They started out slow. And slow starts have been a thing for this Marquette team. And I talk a lot about how your bugaboo comes back to bite you at the worst time, right? We talked about it with the Bucks last year, where the Bucks could not hold the lead to save their soul. The Milwaukee Brewers, you know, could not get a big hit, and that's been a theme too for the Brewers in October. And they couldn't, you know, have that big moment, you know, and it suddenly festers at the worst possible time. And so to have NC State start out on a 20-12, you know, first 10 minutes, it was an uphill battle from there. And Marquette could never really get on that run. They never really got on the 10-2 quick run where all of a sudden we're in a war, right? And that was the part of it. They did get on a run in the second half, but it was slow. It was methodical. And again, did not hit the three-point shot. Only one team in college basketball that shot over 33s shot worse than Marquette in a game. And there were, I think I have the tweet from Fanta. There were multiple examples of this. And it hurts you so much. Okay, yeah, this from John Fanta. Marquette, according to Fox Research, Marquette went 4-for-31 on three-pointers. This is the 131st instance of a team attempting 30-plus threes in a game in Division I. Only one team in those have shot a lower percentage than Marquette. Furman, who shot 12% against Chattanooga on January 6th. Like, really? Like, really? That's it, right? That's how fucking... Like, that's the type of stuff that just wants you to pull your hair out. The fact that if Tony Bennett fouls up three, we're not even talking about NC State. NC State doesn't even exist. And I know what people will say. That's the beauty of March. You're right, it is. But when it happens to you, you want to fucking scream. You want to yell into a pillow and ask yourself, why? Why did this happen to me? And Jamal Shedd then goes down in the Sheed goes down in the second game. And you play Duke. And I think Duke would have been a beatable opponent for Marquette. I think Marquette could have beat Duke. I think they have the talent and the size to match with Duke. I think the way Filipowski plays is kind of like Oso Iguodala. And I think they would have succeeded against Duke. And we won't know. We have no idea. And Duke, I think, is going to steamroll NC State and get to the Final Four. And that should be Marquette. But look, this now happened again. You know, Michigan State lost to Kansas State, and that Kansas State would have been an ideal matchup for Marquette. And then Marquette would have got FAU, and I think they could have beat FAU. But that's the tournament, right? That's how it goes. And it's hard to cope with it now. I think it'll depend a lot on how the rest of this tournament plays out. If UConn and Purdue are just murder machines, and this is basically 2005 all over again with Illinois and North Carolina, because if you remember that tournament, I don't remember a lot of that tournament, but it was Illinois, North Carolina, and everybody else. And they met in the final. It was a good final. Sean May dominate in that final, and North Carolina is victorious. But they were the two best teams, and there was nobody else. And it was just a collision course between those two teams. And if that's what happens, I can live with this loss. If this thing gets turned on its head and Purdue makes the Final Four and Tennessee makes the Final Four and it's Tennessee in there or it's Duke in there in the final and it's not UConn, it's Illinois or it's Bama, that will be a lot harder to deal with because then it's like you open that door. That door suddenly is open and that door exists. And there is an alternate reality where you're cutting down the nets in, you know, a couple weeks from now. that part would drive me up the fucking wall. So the next really two days of basketball are going to be important for my mentals and the Saturday and then the Monday going forward. And we'll just see. Because that, going back to that Packer example, when the Rams win and then you would have played the Rams at Lambeau and Matt Stafford crumbles against Aaron Rodgers, everyone knows that. And the fact that the Chiefs did not win, it was the Bengals, and he would have played a young upstart Bengals team who I think you already beat that earlier that year in that crazy field goal overtime game. You look at that and you say, well, should have had a Super Bowl. Just like in 2020, David Bakhtiari doesn't get hurt. You should have had a Super Bowl. But 2022 is a lot different than 2020 because it's your performance on the field. We don't have, and last year it was Kolek's injury. We were like, well, if Tyler Kolek's healthy, we would have probably got to the Final Four. We might have got to the Final Four. But this time they were fully healthy. They were ready to go. And it just didn't work. And it's a long look in the mirror. I think Marquette needs to get a little more mentally tough early on. Like, I don't understand that how the moment was too big for them. I saw this team so resilient, winning on the road in the Big East, figuring out ways to win, gutting out games when it wasn't your day. But it just, the shots didn't fall. And yeah, the ball was the ball, but you have to figure it out. And so I look at this and I don't think it's anything on Shaka Smart. Maybe that, you know, just have to control nerves and energy and figure out ways to say, all right, let's get our guys quick buckets. And this will be a learning experience for him just as much as anybody else, right? It's his first Sweet 16 since 2011. Now he knows what the pomp and circumstances are of the, you know, it's probably a lot different, right? It's 15 years later, or 13 years later, excuse me. So it's probably a lot different. And now that Shaka knows this, he understands this, knows what it takes to like keep his guys level-headed, keep his guys under control. There are NIL deals flying in. There are fans everywhere. Like, Kolek gets this hero's welcome. And I'm not blaming the fans. I'm just saying, like, that had to be different than what it was at VCU. And now Shaka knows this. And that's a good takeaway for next season. And maybe when Shaka looks back at this, and I'm sure he'll watch the film, maybe he should have put Trey Norman or Zaid Lowry in there for a couple minutes just to see if, like, hey, maybe they can change the energy. Maybe they can provide a spark. I think that I would have done that. But, like, look, I don't know. I don't know how much that would have changed. Is that really the thing that you'd pine on? This is all on the guys. This is all on the guys on the court. And it sucks that is because you love these guys. And I love these guys. We all love these guys, right? Like, it's not that we're being critical of them. It's just, it's how it is. You had a 0.84, you know, points per possession. Like, that is as low as I can remember Marquette all season. I don't know if I can actually pull that and understand if that's the case. But, like, that's really bad. And that's not Marquette basketball. I think Butler is probably the best example when they lost at home to Butler in that bizarre game where I said Marquette had lost their grip. Yeah, 0.85. They were 5 of 31 that day from three. Cam Jones, 1 of 10 that night from three. Cam Jones tonight was 3 of 12. He was 5 of 6 inside the paint. And that was, I think, really frustrating too. I wish I could have yelled at Cam Jones, like, just take it to the lane. Just get to the basket. Just do it. David Joplin, 0 of 7 from three. Stevie Mitchell missed four. And then Stevie had one in the corner that he should have shot. Or even just dribbled in. There's a lot of soul searching here. There's a lot of soul searching as to what comes next and where this team goes. And Tyler Kolek, I mean, Marquette for life, retire number 11, that'll be in the rafters. Osue Ighodara, it was a really weird finish for Oso. I don't know if it was the pressure. I don't know if something else was going on. But it was a really tough Big East tournament as well as the NCAA tournament for Osso Ighodara. And I don't think that Marquette wins. it's hard to say, right? If like Oso, you know, is a little more dominant and puts his team on the back, does Marquette win this? But Oso really, really struggled down the stretch. One, two, three, four. Four of his last six games, he had an offensive rating under 100 when he was routinely in the hundreds or near the hundreds the entire Big East season. After he had an 84 against Creighton at home, he ripped off either 100 or 95 or higher in every game of the Big East season until that Villanova game on the Big East. So the moment got too big for him. And that sucks, right? But I don't know. I don't think he'll come back. He has no more school left. The guy's like a double major. He go to the pros, man. Just make the most of it. And if Cam Jones decides to go pro, I think that if Cam Jones looks at the last game, I know, you know, he had 20 points, but he made 3 of 12 from 3 and 5 of 6 from inside the arc. It would be an interesting decision. I'll just put it that way. If that's the way that Cam wants to go out. But look, if that's just what he needs to do, that's what he needs to do. And I think that they can look at next year and Cam can look at it as him being the guy. And he showed, you know, at the end of this season when Tyler Colick was out that he could be that guy. They just need a point guard. And I think that's Trey Norman. And it's Norman, it's Jones, it's Mitchell, it's Joplin, Ben Golden side, who I actually think will be a lot better next year. That's a pretty good team. Zade Lowry too. And then bringing in Royce Parham and Demetrius Owens, who are both, you know, 6'8", 6'9", guys, big dudes. Like Al Amadou, another year of development. Like, I like Marquette's chances next year. Might they be a 2 seed? No, probably not. Could they be a 4 or 5 seed? Absolutely. Like, I don't think that's out of the question. Not with the team that they have next year. I think they have the talent. Now, if Cam Jones does go pro, I think you have to go to the transfer portal. I don't think there's an option. You then don't have a big scorer, and you need a big scorer. And you can't rely on Joplin to be the guy. You can't rely on Stevie Jones to be the guy. You probably have to go portaling. And to me, that's okay. And I don't think Shaka Smart, suddenly a hypocrite who is anti-portal, to go in the portal once or twice. I think, you know, there's a difference between giving a guy $800,000, like apparently Mississippi did with AJ Storr, versus, hey, we need support here and there are talented players all up and down the portal, right? And guys who are played in mid-majors who are better than their mid-major now and want to go to a place like Marquette. And I'm telling you, there are going to be guys that want to play at Marquette. If Shaka Smart makes the call on certain guys, they are going to want to play for Shaka Smart. They are going to see the fact that Oso Iguodala was a first-round draft pick. They're going to see that Tyler Colick is probably a first-round draft pick. I don't think Oso is going to be. I think he really hurt his stock. I do think a team is getting a steal in the second round with Oso, and I think you can work on those mentals and figure out how do you slow down the game a little bit for him. But I think you're going to get three guys drafted from Shaka Smart. That's going to bring in guys, especially guys who are like wanting to level up. So we'll certainly have to see. We'll certainly have to see what comes next. Chase Ross is a guy I forgot about next year. I think if you do lose Cam Jones, Chase Ross can certainly, you know, maybe fill that void. I think Chase Ross is going to be a star. Like, look, I think this will be a good team next year. I think it's going to be a very good team. And I hope, you know, none of these guys go Portland. But if they do, that's part of basketball right now. Then you just have to, you know, grin and bear it. But everybody came back last year. Everybody had a goal in mind. And now the chip grows, right? Okay, we got to Sweet 16. Let's get back there. Now let's get to the Elite Eight. Let's get to the Final Four. I think they can do it. I do. I don't know how the dust will settle from next year, but I still think Marquette should be a preseason top 25 team. I don't think that's out of the question for the guys coming back, assuming Jones and Ross and Joplin all come back. So I guess, I don't know how much more I have left from the game. I'll think about it a lot. I'm not going to lie. Like I said, really the next, you know, today, tomorrow, Saturday will very be dependent on how I feel about this. I'm sure I'll check in on it. I appreciate, you know, all the support, all the love. The Marquette community is fucking great. It's so fun online, whether you're on Twitter, whether we're on the PSF app, whether we're on, you know, the, whether you guys listen to the pod, you know, Marquette and Marquette's love has helped grow this thing really a lot. And I don't want to lose sight of that. And I do thank you for that. And I also thank the players, right? Because the interest in Marquette has never been higher. And Shaka Smart has brought back Marquette basketball. And Marquette basketball, you know, is selling out an NBA arena almost every fucking night. That's so impressive. And that is because Shaka, you know, took a chance on a guy like Tyler Kolek and saw the potential and built Tyler Kolek and developed Tyler Kolek into an NBA player. And also Iguodala and David Joplin and Omax Prosper and Chase Ross and Cam Jones. And some of the stories aren't fully written about those guys. But it's so it's just such a special team, and it's such a special university right now and in this moment. And if you're listening to this and maybe you're not a Marquette fan, or you're, you know, a neutral fan, neutral observer, and you're more of a pro sports fan, telling you Marquette's a lot of fun. And it's an awesome ride. And as I said to some buddies who said, hey, sorry about the loss, which I appreciate, I was like, sports sucks, man. Like, this happens. This is part of being a sports fan, you know, and it's what, you know, kills you, right? It's what drives you crazy. It's what makes people pessimists. And I, you know, I've had friends be like, why are you such an optimist? Like, you know that this is going to end badly, likely. Yeah, but there's always that chance. There's always that maybe, right? Like, we haven't had a really bad team in the state of Wisconsin probably since, you know, one of the Wojo Marquette teams, or, and the Brewers, we'll see. But the Brewers haven't been, under, you know, the last place team since 2000. It's fucking crazy. So we'll see if that's maybe the first team in a while where we have a bad team. Like, that's why I think the Packers were so hard for so long. And then they got great. And then all of a sudden, the vibes are high. And we're going to all talk ourselves into a Super Bowl appearance. And we're going to build ourselves up. And then we might get our hearts fucking stepped on in January. And same goes with the Bucks. Might be in May. And why, ladies and gentlemen? Because sports and winning winning championships are fucking hard. And that's the reality. It sucks. Thank you for riding with us. We'll see where everything goes. And we'll try to talk more Marquette during the offseason too. I do a bad job sometimes of neglecting sports in their offseason, but I'll try my damnedest to be a little more in tuned with Marquette during the offseason. So thanks again. We'll be back on Monday. We'll talk Brewers. We'll talk about the Bucks. I think anything else. We'll see. Maybe we'll start getting into some more draft stuff with the Packers. You know, talk at least about what happened in the Elite Eight and from a Marquette perspective. We'll see if it's a nightmare Final Four. It helped that Creighton lost. I will say that. Like, not to be a hater, but Creighton losing was huge. Because if Creighton wins that, and then Creighton gets to the Final Four, and it's Creighton, UConn, Duke, and Alabama. I mean, pick a team in the West. It could be Clemson. That would be hard. If it was Creighton and UConn, it'd be really hard for Marquette to be sitting on the sidelines. But we don't have to worry about that. So, all right, I'm out. Take care. Have a good one. Have a good rest of your weekend. Enjoy your Easter with your families. And we'll be back on Monday. See ya. Bye.